And now activating underground internet-only transmission from the Uptown Theater in Chicago. This is another edition of Outside the Loop Radio with Mike Steven and Andy Herman.
Yes, this is Outside the Loop Radio, broadcasting on OutsideTheLoopRadio.com from our secret bunker backstage at the beautiful Uptown Theater. I'm Mike Steven.
And I'm Andy Herman.
And no one's here at the Uptown right now except Stan.
I saw Stan leave.
He's gone.
We're safe for now.
Stan is the maintenance guy here at the Uptown Theater. Every week, what we're going to do is bring our broadcast equipment into a different area of the city and do our show from there, record our show. This week, we are backstage at the Uptown Theater. Look, I mean, it is so soundproof back here. It's almost like we're in a radio studio.
It is just, it's beautiful back here.
And this is gorgeous theater, and you know, it's abandoned. So nobody's here except Stan, who is the custodian. But he left, apparently.
Now we've revealed our location. We'll be somewhere else next week.
Next week, we will be somewhere else.
Yes.
This is Outside the Loop Radio, and like I said, I'm Mike Steven, and that's Andy Herman. Now, Andy is in every week we have him in a booth, in a hermetically sealed booth, because you really serve as more of a producer sort of role in the show. You are also a co-host, but we've worked together before.
Yeah.
And it's stipulated that you have to be in a room separate than me.
That's in my contract.
Mm-hmm.
Is it in yours?
I don't even know. The guys in legal would know.
This guy's in legal.
I love those guys. All right, this is Outside the Loop, and this is a brand new podcast. This is our first edition of the show. Every Thursday, we will release a new edition of Outside the Loop. And this is kind of like, we're calling this the almost above ground Chicago Audio Magazine.
And it's also not quite underground.
Right. So we're kind of somewhere in the middle. We're going to be talking about a lot of things that maybe you don't know about, maybe you haven't heard about, or maybe you have, but we'll be giving a different take on those topics. So that's what we're doing here at Outside the Loop. We've got artists and newsmakers and segments. We're going to have a lot of fun, and that's what it's all about. So we encourage you to stay with us here. And also tell your friends about Outside the Loop, OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. Our website right now looks really strange. There's not much going on.
Yeah, I'm still working on that. I'm working on my web degree, my designing degree right
from
now.
From Truman, right?
Yeah.
Right, which isn't far from here. All right, anyway, we've got a great show coming up. On this edition of Outside the Loop, we're very excited because later in the program, we will be chatting with the editor and publisher of New City Magazine. New City Magazine is a free publication that comes out every week. And this week, they have their Best of Chicago 2006 out. So we'll be talking with Brian Hagelke. He's the editor and publisher of New City, about the Best of Chicago list 2006.
Which we did not make this year.
What's this payphone thing we're doing later?
It's our very first bit.
Yeah, man, we're crazy.
we're crazy doing a radio bit. DJs, man. We're calling payphones.
We've noticed, and Andy made this observation, that there aren't a whole lot of payphones anymore.
I have not used a payphone since I got a cell phone.
We've dug up this really old list of payphone numbers that we will be calling to spread the good news about Outside the Loop.
We have no budget.
We're going to let the good listeners in on what we're doing. But first, we're going to do... Now, this is first, right? We're leading off with this. Our big interview with Robert McChesney.
Yes.
And if you don't know who Robert McChesney is, he's a really cool dude. He's a professor of communication at U of I. And he is a media critic. And he's got a lot of stuff to say about the current state of media in our country. Thanks for joining us.
My great pleasure.
And you are someone who is, again, like in our circles, and Andy and I are really, we really follow media really closely. We really respect your work. You really have some interesting opinions and insights, and you're sort of a champion, I think, for causes for independent media. And that's kind of what we're doing here with this podcast. But kind of give us a little brief history. How did we get here? How do I turn on the TV and see the same stuff over and over again, then turn on the radio and hear the same stuff over and over again, and it's all monotonous? How did we get here?
Well, the key thing to understand, to put it in a nutshell, is that our media system is not a free market system, especially our broadcasting system. Broadcasters get licenses to use the public airwaves. They get monopoly privileges from the government. The government makes sure no one else uses the same frequency. They're very lucrative to get. The broadcasters don't pay the government a dime for this use of public property. And, you know, this is the foundation of our radio and television system. These are companies that successfully get licenses. What's happened in the last decade or 15 years or so is that the biggest media-owning companies, the biggest companies that own radio and television stations, have successfully lobbied to eliminate many of the ownership restrictions and tried to make sure that there weren't a small number of companies that owned all the radio and television stations. And we've seen tremendous consolidation of ownership with disastrous implications in both radio and television. There still remain, however, a few very important restrictions on media ownership that the big companies are chomping at the bit to get rid of. And those, the most important of which is what's called cross-ownership. And this is the rule that prevents a company from owning a newspaper and a radio or television station in the same town.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, people in Chicago say, wait a second, the Chicago Tribune owns WGN.
Right.
And that was grandfathered in because this law was put in place.
So there are some exceptions to that rule.
There are exceptions, and especially firms like the Tribune, which own WGN.
Sure.
Because it was grandfathered in before this rule was passed in 1975. And right now, the state would have it. The Federal Communications Commission is reviewing the cross-ownership rule. It is under tremendous pressure from the media companies that have gone to bat for the Bush administration, Sinclair Broadcasting, Clear Channel, Gannett News Corporation, Tribune Company, Pappas Broadcasting, Belo, Media General. These are all these firms that own so many radio and TV stations and want to own daily newspapers, or they own newspapers and they want to own radio and TV stations. They're pressuring the Bush administration to deliver the goods, to let them set up company town media in towns across America. So the dream is to own the daily newspaper, three or four television stations, 10 or 12 radio stations, the cable service, the ISP, and basically own a town, have one newsroom fit all.
Yeah. Now, do these companies tend to say that it's good for business, from a business point of view, it's good to do this cross-ownership because they like to introduce this word into our vernacular called synergy. But does synergy really work?
Sorry about that interruption in the background, listeners.
It's probably CBS calling.
Yeah, it's probably Rupert Murdoch wanting
right, shutting us down.
Well, you know, there's a lot of debate about that. I mean, one thing we know for sure in the case of cross-ownership, the rule that's going to be that's being pressured by the Tribune Company and these other giants, is they know that if they have a company town monopoly where they have one newsroom serve all the media, where they have no real competition for listeners, viewers, readers, and advertisers, they're going to make a lot more money. They'll have very little competition, and they'll own the market. And so synergy is going to work for their shareholders, and they're going to rake in a lot of money. The only other thing we know for certain is that it's a nightmare for everyone else. It means that there will be the whole idea of the cross-ownership rule is it's bad to have one newsroom in town. It's good to have multiple newsrooms competing with each other, providing some independence. And the nightmare scenario we see going on with the rules changes the SEC are considering is that these big media companies get local company town media monopoly. And then, you know, what are the chances they're going to be really hard on the Bush administration? This is the administration that's granted them these monopoly privileges. Well, I don't think they're very high. So, I mean, I think it means we get even worse journalism if that's possible, even less critical if that's possible, even less independent. And right now, the SEC, as I said, is reviewing the cross-ownership rule and a few others, and it could vote as early as December to eliminate the rule, get rid of it, and allow local media monopolies to exist. It is a huge fight because the FCC, three of the five members are Republican. It always goes to the party in power, and the White House gets to have the majority. And these are not three people offhand who are really studying the issue in principle and thinking about what's good for humanity. It's clear that at least two of the three, including the chair, Kevin Martin, are totally on board with the Karl Rove-Bush project of delivering all possible media to these giants and screw the public.
You know, Ed, people say, and you talked about Republicans who are in power now, obviously, this can be a partisan issue, but the Telecommunications Act of 1996, I think that's worth mentioning. That was under President Clinton. He signed that.
Oh, yeah. The Democrats are much better on these issues when they're out of power. Their backbones get a lot stiffer, mm-hmm. and their rhetoric gets a lot stronger. And I'm looking forward to the day they'll be in power and we can see if we can hold them to their current rhetoric, because they're saying a lot of good things right now. But you're absolutely right. Traditionally, Democrats have been better, but not much better than Republicans. But I will say that what's changed from those days, though, today we have a media reform army in the hundreds of thousands that didn't exist 10 years ago. Bill Clinton could deliver the goods to the media corporations then, and no one knew a thing about it. They just heard his fluffy rhetoric about free markets. Mm-hmm. Today, if Bill Clinton or any other president, George W. Bush, Gore, Kerry, whoever it might be, tries to deliver the good in the same way Clinton did, they will hear about it. They will have an uprising from their voters and their constituents.
I wanted to talk to you about this. This was a story that came out recently, and I'm reading from the Chicago Sun-Times here. In Washington, the Federal Communications Commission ordered its staff to destroy all copies of a draft study that suggested greater concentration of media ownership would hurt local TV news coverage, a former lawyer at the agency says. I'm sure you've been all over this story and keeping tabs on it. Kind of give us an overview as to what was going on at the FCC, Federal Communications Commission.
Well, this gets to the whole corruption and lack of integrity in this agency. You know, Michael Pollan, the former head of the FCC, was completely committed to basically giving the big media companies waivers to get them the rules changes they wanted. Kevin Martin is the same way, the current head. They're using their position to push the partisan agenda of Karl Rove and George W. Bush, which is the agenda of the big media companies. And the problem they have is the FCC is a civil service agency with thousands of employees, and they aren't partisan employees. So they've got a lot of economists and people who work for it who are just professionals who, mm-hmm. who are there for no matter who the administration is. And it just so happens that a couple of their economists did a study of the effect of local ownership of television stations on news. And it was a stunning study. Apparently people have seen it, and I haven't read it closely, say it's this first-rate economic analysis. It's irrefutable. And apparently when it was done, higher-ups at the FCC, this is during the reign of Michael Pollan, mm-hmm. he's responsible whether or not he personally sent out the word. Higher-ups at the FCC ordered the entire, every copy destroyed, that not be talked about, because the findings of this study showed that basically concentrated media ownership was disastrous for local news on television. There was a huge difference in whether it was conglomerate-owned or whether it was locally owned. And this went against sort of the objectives of the Bush administration's FCC. So, I mean, the whole FCC right now is just... And another one of these studies came out the following week, mm-hmm. Repressed ownership study, and now there's an investigation of it. What this points to is that this is a body that cannot be trusted to make these decisions without tremendous public involvement.
When you say that the study shows that the current trends have been disastrous to local news, what do you mean by that?
What it means is they found out that a locally owned television station, independent station, does on average over 5 minutes more per night per 30-minute newscast of actual local journalism with a reporter out on the beat covering something than does a station in the same market that is owned by one of these big Clear Channel-type conglomerates. Basically, these big chain conglomerate media companies strip out local journalism. That's too expensive to do. Mm-hmm. Locally owned firms keep doing it because that's why they're in business, is to serve their local community, not to serve a shareholder in Texas. And the figures couldn't have been more – they surprised me. I didn't think it would be anywhere near that level.
Uh-huh.
Came up with over 30 hours a year more local journalism on locally owned stations. So the evidence there points dramatically that a sane policy of ownership would be strongly encouraging many more local owners. We'd be breaking up the big companies. You'd say, hey, Clear Channel, you can't own 1,200 radio stations. It found the same thing with radio TV. You know, you can own five, and we're going to have 1,000 new owners around the country, and we're going to let other people get a crack at it and mm-hmm. see if they can do better. That would be a rational policy, but that's the last thing this FCC, which is in the pay of the big industry, wants to hear. So their choice, apparently, was just to destroy these studies, keep them secret, not let anyone know they took place, and just keep cooking up research that proves the objective, establishes the justification for the objective you want.
We're talking about localism here, and I think it's really important that we stress especially on this program. This is a local show. This is an independently produced show. It's in a source of alternative media. It's a podcast. It's essentially an internet-only show. The importance of localism in media, I think that's worth stressing. In your eyes, why localism is really the key to a healthy democracy.
It absolutely is, and I'm delighted with shows like this, but I think one of the things it doesn't solve for us is localism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's better at doing international stuff, at bringing sort of news from Europe to America and making it easy to read New York stuff in Wyoming and Wyoming stuff in New York. But what the internet doesn't magically do is provide a lot of people covering Chicago for people living in Chicago, or more important, Peoria for people living in Peoria. And that's where having locally owned news, newspapers, radio and television stations is very important, because these will then be the institutions that will segue to the digital era, providing the notion of having people actually doing journalism in those communities.
Well, what can people do? I know we're doing a podcast here, but people maybe who don't have access to equipment or feel that, man, you know, I'm hearing this broadcast, but I really feel like I should do something because this is important to me. And yeah, I don't see enough coverage of my community. What can people do to get involved?
Well, I think it's crucial. Go to freepress.net, the website, and there will be links there to take you to the big campaign to stop media concentration, which is at stopbigmedia.com. There also, since we're talking on podcasting, I mean, one of the huge issues that's really crucial to the future of the internet is the fight over what's called net neutrality. And what these big ISPs, the phone and cable companies, want is the right to charge you, to charge websites money if they want to get fast action. And so there'll be a tier of people who pay off the phone and cable companies. They get to go fast and everyone else goes slower. And it sets up a hierarchy. It's very profitable for the phone and cable companies. It's a nightmare for everyone else. We can stop that, and we've already got a million people who've protested this, and that's called net neutrality. And go to freepress.net, and the links are there. These are all issues, ownership, the internet, that we do win when people get together and get organized. We have people are on our side, the truth's on our side. We're going against organized money, and the only way you beat organized money is with organized people. And since there's so much money we're fighting, we need lots of people. So if people haven't gotten engaged, it's not that hard to do. Get engaged, sign the petition, send your comment to the SEC, email the link to all your friends. It's really an extraordinary moment we're in. We're seeing people rising up and challenging this media system, these corrupt policies, in a way that hasn't existed in this country in a century. And it's something people should get on the train. We need all the help we can get.
Freepress.net, again, is that website. We'll put a link up to freepress.net on our website, outsidetheloopradio.com. And talking to you it's great because we learn about this serious problem we're facing, but I always come away when I hear you speak and I read your writing inspired to get involved with this cause and do more. So thank you very much for all your work. Robert McChesney is a professor at University of Illinois. He's at the Institute of Communication Research at U of I. Thank you very much for joining us on this, our first edition of Outside the Loop Radio.
Well, I'm honored to be number one.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Mike Steven here with Andy Herman, walking the streets of downtown Chicago. We're on Lower Illinois right now, right underneath Michigan Avenue, and we're walking the streets, and this is going to be part of what we do here on Outside the Loop, bringing the sounds of Chicago and what's going on to the show. So we'll be going out with a lot of man-on-the-street stuff, on-location stuff with some portable microphones, and we're walking around here, and Andy had this really interesting observation.
We thought for the first podcast we could actually call payphones. Who uses payphones? When was the last time you used a payphone, Mike?
I have no idea. And so we're looking around here and there are no payphones. There are no payphones.
Just something we've been thinking about recently, and we decided for our first On the Street segment, we just call some payphones around town.
And the segment that we like to call
calling
payphones. Yeah, you know, that sounded better when we went over it.
I hope someone answers.
Okay, here we are back in the Outside the Loop Radio Underground bunker, and we are going to call payphones. And this was your idea, dude.
Yeah, let's call some payphones.
Legally, if we get in any trouble, Andy Herman, Andy at OutsideTheLoopRadio.com.
You know, I cleared it with our lawyers. I think we'll be fine.
Those guys in legal.
Yeah, we have such a huge legal team here.
Those guys are great. And what we're going to do right now is call payphones from our studio here.
It's all guerrilla marketing here. The guys in legal also tell us we have no money.
I love those guys in legal. Hold on, dialing this.
Yeah, make sure that audio's down there. Yeah, down. There you go.
You ready?
I am ready.
Here we go. Calling. We're calling the Belmont Avenue. Oh, geez.
The number you have reached is not in service.
Okay, I've got a number here for Timothy O'Toole's pub. Okay, downtown. And it says men's washroom. Now, I don't know. Now, hold on a second. I don't know of a payphone. I don't know of a payphone that's in a men's bathroom. We were there like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We don't remember it. Maybe that's it.
We just don't remember the payphone.
Okay, I'm calling. It's protecting us. Okay. Hold on here. Here we go. Here we go.
Oh.
We're ringing. Just telling people about what we're doing here outside the loop.
I'm getting excited.
I really don't want to know why. Oh, the payphone.
Yeah.
Oh.
Our first payphone. Call.
See, the problem is if nobody picks up, we've got no bit. We've got no segment.
Would you pick up a payphone ringing?
I might. I mean,
I think I would. Yeah.
Okay, I don't think anybody's picking up.
Patience. Patience, young Mikey.
We'll sit here for, 10 minutes and listen to this. Scintillating.
All right. I think there was an attendant in the bathroom there.
Well, see, then you can't have a payphone. The
attendant.
But
he needs to do his business out of there, you know?
What, get more gigs?
Yeah.
He's calling hotels asking if he could work.
It's downstairs. His cell phone probably doesn't work.
Right.
He needs to give out that number for personal reasons.
Okay, hey, you know what? I'll go with it. He's going to call from the can to get more gigs in other cans.
How else are you going to reach him if you need to reach
him? How does one become a bathroom attendant, by the way?
I don't want to know.
We need to call. All right, hold on here. We're calling the Pizza Hut in Downers Grove.
I like how you know the tones of the keys.
I'm twisted. We're spreading the good news of Outside the Loop Radio.
Hello?
Hi, this is Mike and Andy from Outside the Loop Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, huh?
Is this the payphone at the Pizza Hut in Downers Grove?
No, you got the wrong phone number.
This isn't the Pizza Hut in Downers Grove. It's 75th?
No. It's not the right phone number.
Okay, well, I'm sorry about that, sir. Make sure to go to OutsideTheLoopRadio.com and get our podcast, okay?
Okay.
Okay, what's your name?
It's Jamie.
Jamie, I'm Mike. That's Andy. Thank you very much. You're a good man.
All right, no
All right,
problem.
Have okay. a good night.
Bye. Take care.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Now, we need to get an updated payphone.
Yeah,
list.
I think so.
Jamie didn't sound too thrilled that we called him.
He wasn't angry, though.
No, he wasn't angry, but, you know.
He was a pleasant guy.
He was probably watching Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
It's one thing to interrupt him with a wrong number, but, you know, we're dumbasses, and we kept saying, is this the Pizza Hut on 75th?
And he's like, what the hell is going on?
In Downers Grove. Jamie was in his footsie pajamas, trapdoor closed, chilling, and we called him. That failed. Andy, I'm thinking we need to go back to the drawing board and really reassess this bit.
Yeah, I'm either going to have to find a new list or come up with another brilliant idea for our show.
You are, I mean, for all intents and purposes, probably the executive producer of Outside the Loop Radio. I mean, this is really, you know, I'm a front.
And you've seen my weakness.
I've seen your weakness, and
you know, they can't all be hits.
It disturbs me.
It just when I fail spectacularly.
Yeah, the whole thing, the whole show is going to topple. You're a genius. Well, this is the first edition of Outside the Loop Radio here, and of course go to OutsideTheLoopRadio.com every Thursday to get a new edition of the show. And this is an alternative medium that we are involved in here, and we are in our Outside the Loop broadcast bunker studios, and we like to think that we're going to be part of an alternative media scene. And speaking of alternative media, one of the alternative newspapers that's here in the city of Chicago, one of the free weeklies, is New City Magazine. And every year they do a really cool thing. They do a Best of Chicago. And this year it's Best of Chicago 2006. That issue of New City is out on stands, and it's free, and it's out right now. And on the phone joining us is the editor and publisher of New City Magazine, Brian Hagelke. Brian, welcome to Outside the Loop.
Thank you. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, and this list just came out, and I love it because every year you guys have like really cool new categories.
Yeah, we try to do a couple of things with the list. I mean, you know, at its core, we want it to be the kind of thing that will help Chicagoans find new great things about the city. So, you know, it's what we in journalism call service journalism. And we always try to have a healthy component of that. And so we'll have things like, I don't know, best Italian beef sandwich and things of that nature. Above and beyond that, we try to find things that are a little more esoteric that are also of interest to people. And I find, you know, I only write a very small part of it every year. I find myself discovering things every year when I'm in the process of editing them. And that's a lot of, that's very exciting to me. And then another element of it is sort of our, I would call it a time capsule, if you will, of the city of Chicago at a moment in time. So we do these pieces where we try to get a little bit at the zeitgeist and get a little bit at some of the big news topics of the last year in sort of a roundabout way, because our conceit is that everything has to be structured as a best of, even if it's not so positive.
It has to be really something for you because, as you said, you're not only the editor and publisher, you go around to these different places, and it's a learning experience just to go around to all these places around the city that you might not normally know about and cover them and review them for the Best of Chicago 2006. That has to be something.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a love-hate thing because it's an very intense time. It's
sure.
You know, every one of these issues has about 200 little, they're basically little stories in them. So, you know, it takes that much reporting and coverage. No one else comes even close to doing anything like this in the city. And so it's a very stressful time. We work 7 days a week and long days while it's happening. But it's also very exciting. And when you get my job, you get to pick and choose typically some of the categories that you get to write about. And so I always try to find some things that I'm interested in personally and that I'm interested in exploring personally.
Now, we have some of the categories here. And Andy and I were going through the magazine and checking out. And by the way, you can go online too, newcitychicago.com. We'll post that on our website. Newcitychicago.com is the New City Chicago website where you can look at the Best of Chicago 2006 according to New City Magazine. And some of the readers got involved, right?
Yes, and that's another important part of this. We combine what we think is the best of both worlds. We survey the audience of New City over the course of a month on about 80 of the questions. So if we have about 200, you know, just over a third of those items are things that we get audience feedback on. And again, same thing. Some of them are best Italian beef sandwich. Some of them are, you know, best reason to boycott Macy's or something like that, you know, some of the more topical things.
And by the way, I think somebody was trying to steal your car.
Yeah.
In the background. I don't know. I don't know what that's about.
I was wondering about that. You know,
can we send a squad over to Brian Hagelke's house?
That's right. Yeah, I'm a car-free person, so that wouldn't
okay,
be a problem.
Okay. We've got some categories here.
Sure.
And I wanted to throw some of these by you. Here's a category. The best L station. Now, this is Best of Chicago 2006. Best L station. The Blue Line. And this is according to New City Magazine. The Blue Line at Damon. Explain this one.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, that's a very sort of open-ended question. And it can mean aesthetics. It could be the quality of the station. It could be the view. It could be the neighborhood. And our critic in this case, I think, was combining a little bit of all of it. Probably not so much the aesthetics. That's still one of the old stations. But it drops you sort of right into the absolute sort of heart of the, you know, culture of the city right now, which is the triangle there where Wicker Park and Bucktown come together at Damon North in Chicago. And it's an elevated platform, so you also get to kind of sit up above it. You get to see a view of the city because you're outside of the city, so you get that skyline view. But you also kind of get a gritty view of what city neighborhoods and buildings are like. So it has all those elements sort of all wrapped up into one piece. And it's interesting because the audience voted on this as well,
yeah,
and chose the Belmont stop, which is where three lines are accessible.
The red line stop.
Yeah. Well,
right.
It's red, and you also have the brown line there and the purple. And I think the same reasoning for a lot of people were the same, is that one of the reader's comments was that it's above ground and there's sometimes a great sunset. You know, it's those little sort of pieces of urban existence that get delivered in these unexpected ways sometimes that those of us who love cities find magical.
Now, Brian, how often are the reader's choices different from the editor's and the writer's choices? Do you find a lot of similarities, or do you find a lot of differences there?
You know, it's interesting. This year, they're always, I would say, at least 50% of the time different. What was interesting to me this year, and I think it's a reflection of kind of an evolution in our culture, was that some of the things, in the past, you would do a category, let's say, like best French fries. And invariably, the audience choice, just because of the power of aggregation, would be McDonald's. Or if you did best pizza, it would have been something like Uno's. You know, it would have been a very predictable choice. And that was one of the reasons we always like to have critics weigh in, too, because, you know, no one needs to hear a lot about McDonald's fries every year. So,
okay, on that, I gotta ask you about this. Best red beans and rice, Popeye's chicken? Popeye's chicken in New City Magazine? Hello?
Yeah, that's where we took a contrarian point of view.
If you
read through it, you know, you'll find that 99.999% of the time we stay sort of off the beaten path.
Yeah.
But that's one where our food critic felt very strongly that they were the best, and also had a famous chef who kind of agreed with him. So, we let that one go through. But what I was saying about pizza and French fries is this year, they didn't vote for McDonald's and they didn't vote for Uno's. The audience actually went for the kinds of choices that our critics might have made. Hot Dogs was chosen for the French fries, and the Peace Pizzeria was chosen.
Oh, sure.
These are both the audience choices. So that was a real surprise to me in editing it this year, because, like I said, that was really the first time in our history of doing this where the audience choice would have been a worthy critic's choice, where it would have been, you know what, we could have easily made that same choice ourselves. We'll see how it goes next year, but it may be the beginning of something kind of new and cool in the culture of the city.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it. Best Bloody Mary bar. I have to bring this up because I love bars, number one. Number two, I love Bloody Marys. And this bar, I've been to a lot of bars in the city of Chicago. I've not been to this bar, at least I don't think. I don't know. You know how it is. Sometimes
sure.
you people have to tell you that you went to the bar.
Right.
This bar is called The Rail. It's at 4709 North Damon. 4709 North Damon, The Rail. And they've got, it says here, a friendly neighborhood sports bar near Lincoln Square offers an all-you-can-drink option for $7.50 on Sundays and claims 60 different ingredients for the Bloody Mary. That's insane.
It is insane, and that's why we went on to make the point that you need to, you know, keep in mind that a Bears game runs at least 3 hours. Because, you know, it's interesting because this is one of the things we always try to do is say, okay, what's kind of new and trendy, too? You know, what are some of the, you know, a few years ago, mojitos were hitting the scene, and you know, everybody was suddenly, it was just, you know, you sort of, when you do what I do for a living, you notice these things that are like little epidemics all of a sudden. It's like, boom, all of a sudden, mojitos. And 5 years before that, it was cosmopolitans. A lot of times it's in the drinking culture especially, but food culture too. And we started seeing more and more about these Bloody Mary bars, you know, that it seemed to be the new thing that a lot of places were competing on, which is the you know, you make them yourself. They have lots of ingredients. And, you know, and we went to a few of them. What we found is they're, you know, they're not that different because ultimately the ingredient sets are fairly similar. Some of them are really going over the top with, you know, some of them having shrimp and all kinds of meats and things. You sink or swim by your own sort of sense of what your taste buds are going to like. And what we liked about the rail were two things. Obviously, you know, it was a great way to get your drink on, as they say, but also, you know, a little trial and error. You could try one. If you didn't like it, you kind of, you know, give me a fresh glass. I'm ready to try something different.
Yeah.
And, so that's what we liked about that. But it's a crazy great thing.
The best looking female TV personality. This one, according to New City Chicago, went to, I believe, Tamron Hall.
And I'm going to have to agree with that one.
See, Andy loves Tamron Hall.
About Tamron Hall.
I love the Reader's Choice. I love the Anna DeVlantes and the Cheryl Burton. I love them both. They don't know it yet, but now they do.
One of the things we do this. We only repeat categories every 5 years. This is one of the other ways we make it challenging for ourselves. So we don't go back to the same well year after year. So we haven't done this one in 5 years. But I think we did it for the first time 5 years ago. And what we really found was interesting was how important this is to the people that were selected, at least the last time around. You know, they really went out of their way to thank us personally for making these selections. You know, call them the best journalist and no response, but you know, tell them that they're the best looking, and boy, are they happy.
So, as far as the new categories every 5 years, with changing technology and everything, are you looking at podcasts now? Or are you looking at blogs and other stuff on the web?
Yes, we did. We did podcast last year.
Oh, see, we missed the boat on that.
Yeah, we did blog two or three years ago, and so they'll be back again. What we did this year is we did a specialized art blog. If we find something really cool that, you know, we don't repeat the category, but we might create a new category for something. So we did best art blog last year, so this year we did the best place to get art, best blog for art news, because it's more of a reporting thing.
I think you should bring back the best podcast, and I would really pay you money or just get you really loaded to put us on there outside the loop.
Well, if we do an audience choice on it, you know, you can always get as many people as you can to vote for you.
That's Brian Hagelke, and I love you. You know, you're just the kind of guy that I think. You know, when I think of going out on the town, because you've been to every place imaginable in the city, it seems like that if we got in a group and went out with you as our group master, our cult leader of sorts, you would show us a good time in the city of Chicago.
I do spend a fair bit of my time, sort of carousing the city streets and neighborhoods looking for the next thing.
But you have to. That's your job.
Exactly. Somebody has to do it,
that's
right?
Right. Yeah, you're real tortured soul. Really quickly, the best color for the next CTA line, black. That's both from New City and the Reader's Choice. Best reason to look forward to a Wicker Park winter, No Gene, the dancing machine. Really quickly, explain who this guy is.
You know, he's this guy that if you live or you spend a lot of time in Wicker Park, everyone knows this guy. He's this guy who's been he's a Korean guy who sort of just came to town. He stands out right in the heart of the intersection in virtually nothing, you know, stripped down to this, like, not even a thong, and does this own sort of dance to his own beat. And, you know, one of those sort of slices of urban life.
Well, Andy's dad's got to make a living, okay? So I really think we should go easy on him. Is that okay? Sorry, I outed your dad.
I apologize for that.
Okay. Hey, Brian Hagelke, you are the editor and publisher of New City Magazine. The New City Best of Chicago 2006 edition is on stands right now, and it's free. So go pick up a copy of New City Magazine or go to their website, newcitychicago.com. Brian, thank you for joining us here, and please come back and do it again.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for honoring us by having us on your inaugural bracket.
Well, that just about wraps up our first edition of Outside the Loop Radio, broadcasting from OutsideTheLoopRadio.com to your computer or MP3 player. So be sure to spread the word about this podcast. We do it every week. Every Thursday, we release another edition of the show. I'm Mike Steven.
And I'm Andy Herman.
And we have been broadcasting from backstage here at the Uptown Theater, the abandoned Uptown Theater.
The beautiful abandoned Uptown Theater.
So we've got to get out of here, break down the equipment.
I can't believe it's over already.
I know. Hey, how can people get in touch with us?
You know, why don't you go to OutsideTheLoopRadio.com? We need to do some work there still. We know that. But we'd love to get your feedback. We'd love to get some show ideas. We're looking for artists, musicians, and just anything that's going on in Chicago. Let us know.
So you can email us at OutsideTheLoopRadio.com. Special thanks to Dave Goldman and John Piscini for providing some of the lovely tunes that you've been hearing on this edition of the show. And we'll be back next week with another edition of Outside the Loop Radio.